once more unto the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another, dare I say, exciting episode of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. Well, we did that again together.
Yes, we did.
Never ceases to amaze me that we can say our names after, 6.5 decades of practice.
We can say our names.
Well, actually, I've only been practicing 6.5. It took me a lot longer to get in the position where I could say my name as well as I do today as it took you. So you're obviously smarter than I am.
Yeah. Well, that was a different introduction music, and we should say the reason for that. That was the Bells of Dunblane, which was done in memory of the Dunblane School Massacre, but that was sent out to West.
To the people of West who have suffered, and I would also include the people of Boston, except I'm reasonably confident they're not able to hear our radio.
Well, there may be a few of them listening, but...
Yeah, they may be listening through
the internet. Yes.
To the weirdness of the internet. But you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and as a matter of disclosure, the Personal Wealth Coach is both a radio program, which you probably have deduced because the fact that you're listening means you're unusually intelligent and can deduce that this is a radio program.
Or you just have a lot of spare time on your hands and you just thought you would listen to two bald guys rattle off.
Yeah, but they probably, even those people, can deduce this is a radio program.
We hope.
Well, it's possible.
I mean, I don't know what it says about their intelligence that
they're
listening to us.
But if they're on the internet, they're not sure it's radio. It could be an internet program. I'm looking forward to the day when we become more of an internet program and less of a radio program. I think the day will come.
I think so, too.
And it also, the Personal Wealth Coach also happens to be the business name of the Wealth Coach LLC, which is a wealth management firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission.
There you go.
Do you like that?
That sounds great.
That was cool. I mean, even I like the way I said that. Anyway, the telephone number's in here. If you would like to give us a call to comment, question, or anything else of that nature with regard to the economy or investments or the markets, is 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
And no, we do not talk about organized or professional sports because...
Well, we might, but only in a very ignorant fashion.
Well, the depth of our ignorance there is truly profound. We've worked at developing the depth of ignorance in that area for many, many decades, and we continue to develop our ignorance in that area. So, what do you think?
There's a lot of stuff to talk about this week.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Nothing of any significance happened, did it?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of things of significance happened.
Okay.
On Tuesday, we had a day that was prior to Wednesday. Pretty incredible,
really?
When you think about it, that it just continues like that. But yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. Now, this is one that I find is near and dear to my heart.
Okay.
Apple. Apple Computer.
An Apple a day.
Yes. Apple Inc. Closed on Friday at $390.53. Why am I even talking about that?
Well, I mean, it's probably a good thing to talk about. It's only down, what, about 30%?
More than that.
40%?
The 52-week high.
Mm-hmm.
And for those
so it was
of
almost
you,
$400 when it closed.
For those of you that count weeks, I have found it, incredibly there are 52 weeks in a year.
Well, pretty close.
Pretty close. So in the 52-week range, their high was $705.
And so now they're down to about $400.
A little under $400. So they're almost
so right
down.
$700 to $400.
They're, yeah.
So they're down three-sevenths.
Three-sevenths.
Right.
Yeah. You're going to try to figure that one out?
No.
It's over 40%.
Yeah.
It's about... 43%, just under 43% down from their high.
The up and down Wall Street writer in Barron's, who I don't particularly like because he's eternally pessimistic, wrote a few weeks ago when in the middle of the Bitcoin mania, and Probably many of you are unaware that the Bitcoin mania even occurred.
Right.
But that well, it makes Apple look tame. Let's put it like this. And if you don't know what a Bitcoin is, continue in your ignorance and you will do well in the world.
Right. Okay. But if you do not wish to be blissfully ignorant, we'll tell you more about it later.
Okay. You can tell them more about it later.
Sure.
It's more
That's
in your fine. Area of expertise. Did we give the telephone numbers out?
Yes, we did. Okay, we can do it again if you'd
773-1400
like. 1-866-597-1400.
Anyway, the Bitcoin mania, he was referring to the Bitcoin mania as anyone who would invest in Bitcoins is obviously insane. He said, sell Bitcoins, buy gold.
People are wondering why I'm laughing.
And gold, for those of you who don't keep up with these things and...
Hopefully, all of you.
Probably you're better off for not keeping up with these things. We actually only keep up with them because people ask us about them. Gold is now down 30% from its high, which is, and last week it dropped in one day 9.5%.
If you're holding gold,
then
likely,
you've got some really heavy stuff in your hands.
Yes, it's fairly heavy. There's a likelihood out there that the people that hold gold are doing it because it's supposed to retain its value.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Well, and this is part of the reason why it dropped so far in one day, because people are saying, well, I'm holding this because it retains its... It's not retaining its... Oh, sell that thing!
Well,
and they all did it together.
As a very good article in Barron's and another one in the Financial Times pointed out today, India and China have stopped... buying.
Yeah.
And
buying gold.
Buying gold. And with good cause.
Yeah.
And because there's the economic factors that caused them to previously buy gold have reversed themselves. And really, when little tiny Cyprus
said, hey, we might sell our gold reserves.
Well, not just might. They have agreed now with the European Union in order to get the funding for their banks,
mm-hmm.
they would sell off most of their gold.
Ooh, the big drop in gold price happened when they said, well, we're considering that.
Right.
We might do
well,
that. But
the 9.5% occurred actually when they said, okay.
Oh, yeah,
they signed the agreement and said, we will. And that kind of brought to light a couple of interesting possibilities. Spain, which has a lot of gold. Ireland, which has a lot of gold, began to discuss the possibility of getting back in line with what the EU, the Eurozone, expected of them by selling off gold. And Portugal said, we definitely, and this is kind of a funny thing because it didn't make the headlines, Portugal, who's also running well behind its scheduled economic reforms demanded by the Eurozone in order to keep their economy, their banking system and everything else from collapsing, said, oh, yeah, we've got a lot of gold, too, and we could sell it off, too. They basically, the countries that are looking at the end of their bailout loans from the Eurozone and the point where they have to start paying them back and looking around at their economy and realizing the austerity measures that they have plugged into their economy, the budget cuts, if you will, the government budget cuts that they have enacted in order to get the bailouts, have so crippled their economies at this point that to reverse the flow and go from receiving money from the Eurozone to paying money back to the Eurozone would probably push them into whatever respective ocean they happen to be near.
Right.
And I've figured out why Germany does so well.
Because it doesn't have that much ocean space.
Right, there's no ocean. Just, you know, this is the secret. I figured out the secret of economic success in Europe.
What is it?
You have to have shoreline on the Baltic Sea.
You should tell that to Italy. Because I suspect they will move if you tell them.
What, they'll actually move north? I don't think they'd have to move across the Alps, which there have been...
That's difficult.
Well, if you think about it, the last time the Italians tried... Well, they've actually tried only one major effort to move all the way to the Baltic.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave up about halfway across Europe and built Hadrian's... I think it was Hadrian's Wall?
Hadrian's Wall is in Britain.
Yeah, but I think Hadrian, at the same time he built his wall in Britain, I think he also built it across Europe. Anyway, they ran through Weizsberg and so on, but they decided that going all the way to the Baltic was counterproductive. So I don't think they could do that.
I think you just don't recognize the speed at which they're doing it.
But that
it's incredibly slow. It's geologic. Those Alps are moving upwards because Italy is pushing.
Yeah, well, Italy isn't getting anywhere, and it's pushed.
It's a very slow push. But, you know, one day it might be either up on top of the Alps. It may be a long time from now, but I think the European Union may not be in any kind of significance when it happens. So your secret might be a good one, but I don't know that it will help a whole lot of people. I think it's a good one.
I think the issue is that in order to be successful as a European nation, you have to border on the Baltic Sea. Because even, you know, we think, oh, well, it's the little bitty nations in Europe, you know, the relatively small nations that are having such. And then you realize that you haven't heard anything from Estonia or Lithuania or whatever it is. And you know, the basically the tiny nations up there that used to be occupied by Russia. You haven't heard anything about them lately. What have you heard?
Well, I just have some friends that just got back from there.
And what did they see?
They saw a lot of very grim people doing very grim things, wearing a lot of black clothing, but they didn't say much about the economy.
Oh, okay. Well, their economy seems to be in pretty good shape. And you know, if you examine this, you discover that Denmark's economy is in pretty good shape, and the Scandinavian countries are all in good shape, and Germany's in good shape. Even Poland is in good shape. Now, when I was growing up, you made jokes about people of Polish descent suggesting that they had a lower intelligence than other people, but
it doesn't seem to be the case at the moment.
No. They seem to be doing quite well. And but as soon as you get one country away into places like Bulgaria and the other nations that wander off down into the Caucasus, all of a sudden, the level of economic stupidity seems to rise exponentially the further you get from the Baltic Sea. You know, and the problem, of course, with Ireland is it was stuck out in the Atlantic, and the same thing with Iceland.
Yeah.
See, I've tested this against everything we know.
There's a little problem in that if it's just relationship to the Baltic Sea, you're still correct. But if someone doesn't have an ocean nearby, it can still be a problem. Belgium is got some issues.
Well, they're not. They have no ocean.
No
and Holland
ocean.
Apparently is in deep.
Yeah. So it has to do with. See,
the
this is all tongue in cheek, but it's amazing how often tongue in cheek turns into somebody's economic theory.
Well,
the Baltic Ocean has an impact on the economy.
And my degree in cultural anthropology tells me that there may be some true accuracy there. These are the descendants of the Vikings.
It's true.
Even Holland, which traditionally is one of the more conservative nations, is having some severe economic difficulties, and they thought they'd be in a recovery by now, but in fact they are declining rather quickly. And the irony of Holland's problems is that the person who is the head of the Eurozone right now is the finance minister of Holland.
Dutch! Yes.
And which brings up all kinds of issues. It's a very interesting world we live in. And we have a caller on 773-1400. You're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Good morning. The music you had at the beginning, the Bells of Dunblane, did you say?
Yes.
That was absolutely incredible. And you mentioned that there was a massacre. What was that about? And how can I look it up? How do you spell Dunblane?
Dunblane. It's in Ireland.
Aha. No, it's in Scotland.
Or Scotland. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said Ireland. But Scotland.
You're going to get in
my
deep
eyes
trouble
are
here,
crossed
buddy.
And Scottish descent here.
You know, it's ancient history now, but I suppose. But all the way back in the last millennium.
Yeah.
But there was a man. Which is an interesting argument about gun control, by the way, because at the time that the massacre occurred, it was illegal to own a rifle and not keep it at the local police station locked up.
Wow.
In Scotland. Wow. But there was a man who got a rifle, a semi-automatic rifle, Matter of fact, it was an assault rifle,
he
as we know it today.
Four handguns. I'm sorry.
He had four handguns. I'm sorry.
No assault rifle.
No assault rifle. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. It was another massacre I'm thinking of. Anyway, he had four handguns. He went into an elementary school, if I recall correctly.
That is correct.
Because he's looking at an elementary school, a primary school, and proceeded to start shooting children. And he shot quite a few of them before the police were able to arrive and stop him by killing him.
Now, who wrote the music that you played?
You know? The director at the time, and I can't remember his name, of the St. Andrews.
Well, he didn't write it, I think, because this is a song that was written in Scotland.
Okay.
You can look up Bells of Dunblane on Google. You'll get the Royal Scots Dragoon Guards playing it.
But it was actually the St. Andrews,
the one we played,
Episcopal school down in Houston that recorded this particular rendition of it. I suspect that there's other recordings of it somewhere else, though.
That was incredible. Oh, yeah. Thank you for doing that. All right, thank you for your time.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Well, it's nice to know that we did something right. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is.
Never ceases to amaze me. And I hate to break this to you folks, but we didn't do that on purpose. This is full disclosure. I had a heck of a time getting the CD player to play, and it's very, very difficult to see the numbers on it, the one we have here in the studio. I think it was put together by Frankenstein with the intent of torturing somebody into becoming a monster. And instead of track 11, which I was trying to play, it wound up playing track 1, which was the snare drums right at the beginning, which is a real short track, so I thought, okay, it's playing something.
And then the Bells of Dunblane came on, and it was perfectly appropriate.
And once the Bells of Dunblane came on, I just couldn't turn it off, so we just sat here and listened to it for a while.
And that was
written by... how appropriate that is.
Robert Mathieson of the Schatz and Dykehead Pipe Band. He was the pipe major.
The Schatz and Dykehead.
Yes, you have to be careful how you say that.
Schatz and Dykehead?
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into it. We're not going to say it anymore because I think anybody that is of adult mind knows the problems that could be said. The misinterpretation of the pronunciation could be.
Obviously, totally don't have an adult mind.
You're right.
But you've known that for
my whole
probably
life.
3 decades or something like that. But you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach. Telephone numbers in here, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400. And let's wrap up that conversation we were having about gold.
Gold is down.
Yes, gold is very down. I was talking about Apple. Apple is down.
And
quite a lot.
And the reason I mentioned gold being down is because the article about where the guy was saying, oops, I kind of screwed up when I told you to buy gold. He's saying, yeah, but Apple's down more.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Well, you know.
The reason why I bring it up, and gold and Apple being two very good examples of how you can get into an investment and not be at all diversified and think that you're covered because of the great return that you've had up till now. And the reason why the volatility upward means volatility downward sometimes. Apple's a good example and gold is a good example. A lot of people got into gold recently, not because it holds its value, but because it has just gone up so high. That's just a good point to say, buy low, sell high, buy high. Sell low.
The other one, yeah, but you don't know when high and low is. The other thing that I wanted to bring up with regard to that, and it sounds like I'm jumping off in a different direction. Believe me, I'm not. Whether it's gold or Apple or the S&P 500. In the last, 3 weeks, I have gotten more people who have seemed to be less than happy with our management than since probably 1999 or 2000.
2000, probably, when the S&P 500 was in a big bubble. Yeah.
And what they were, it really wasn't a complaint. What they were questioning is, why is my portfolio not going up really, really fast when the Dow Jones Industrial Average and S&P 500 is going up really, really fast, and this since the end of the quarter. And I have had to write back extensively to them trying to explain that the whole issue in what we do is try to aim at a long-term steady return, avoid volatility. And so far in the 60 or so years of record keeping, as people have studied this, no one has ever been able to capture the upside without experiencing the downside.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, it's very easy to capture the downside without experiencing the upside.
This includes Warren Buffett.
Right.
For those of you that have forgotten that just a few years ago, Warren Buffett was trying to explain to the shareholders of Berkshire Hathaway why Berkshire Hathaway prices were down and why internal earnings were down, because sometimes the economy goes the other way, and then you've got the other direction.
Well, he would, you know, a few years ago was 1999 and 2000 when
exactly.
The same thing. You know, the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and for that matter, the NASDAQ, get heavily reported. However, it's really, really, really important to understand something about those three indexes or indices, is that they are momentum indicators. Let me explain that. That
Please
means
do.
That the more they go up, the more money goes into them to make them go up, so that they rise on momentum rather than fundamentals. In many cases, they
Same thing
fall
goes in the other direction.
On
yeah.
momentum. In other words, if you think about them as being the Titanic, they're gigantic. They are the biggest companies. They represent the largest capitalization. They represent the most visible companies, not just in the United States, but in the world. And as they begin to move upward, they develop a huge momentum, a mass, if you will, which is purely in our minds because there's no physical mass there. And people flood their money into them, which makes them move up again. And people flood more money into them, not because there's a fundamental that says we should be investing, but because they went up. Now, that's momentum investing. And there's people who argue it's a wonderful idea, and they're generally gone in a few years. I mean, when's the last time you saw a copy of Investor's Business Daily, which was founded on that process? It was going to beat the Wall Street Journal. It was going to beat the New York Times and all of that because it was a momentum investor publication. And the point is that if your portfolio is properly designed, when the S&P 500 or Dow Jones Industrial Average suddenly take off, as they did this month upward, it's hard to believe that it was just this month that they took off upward. By the way, they're now below where they were when they took off suddenly upward. When they do that, if your portfolio goes with them, and I know this is going to sound strange, that should spark an element of fear in your mind. I guess that works. I guess it would be in your heart because fear is an emotion, but should certainly raise a cautionary flag. The reason is when there's a sudden move of the S&P 500 or the Dow and they shoot upward, and sometimes they can continue to shoot upward for years, there will be historically, and I can't tell you the future, but I can tell you historically, there will be a price to pay down the road. There are times when those markets are so vastly oversold, they have shot downward, that they rebound back up. That's a different story, and that is a different thing altogether. It's the reverse of it. But if you, for instance, look back in November of last year, there was a peak downward, a deep valley, a canyon in the chart,
a trough
for those, and they shot right back up again to where they had been before, and this shoot upward is almost a perfect reverse of that. And by the way, the one that is back in November was right after the elections, when a lot of people thought that the economy would be destroyed and the market would be destroyed if President Obama was reelected. And then when the economy didn't get destroyed and the market didn't get destroyed, the market suddenly came back.
Wait a minute. You're doing this backwards.
Really?
Yeah. There is something that if people are making predictions, you're remembering the wrong parts.
I am?
Yeah. You're not supposed to remember when people are wrong. You're not supposed to bring them back up. You just remember when they're right. Then they can sell more books.
Okay. So you mean like last year at this time, I'm not supposed to remember that the congressional actions were going to destroy the known universe as we know it?
No, absolutely not. I mean, when the people that are in this business making predictions, that's how they make their living. If you keep remembering when they're wrong, you're going to put them out of a job.
Yeah, well, last year, the
that's down, like, you know, fortune tellers.
For those of you who don't remember this, I'm not supposed to remember it either.
Shame on you.
Last year, about this time, the Dow was at 13,300, but there was widespread conviction that the world was momentarily going to come to an end. And I don't remember the specific issue in Congress, but it was echoed through the radio talk shows. And we don't have a talk show. That's one of the reasons we don't have a talk show, by the way. And so the Dow dropped about 12,100 relatively quickly. And, of course, those people were really wise because they knew that the Obama administration and the chairman of the Federal Reserve was going to destroy the economy.
There's a lot of movement out there, emotional movement. When somebody is saying, panic, get out, and then the reasoning for the panic is there's an election coming.
Well, generally, if there's a gunna attached to the reason for gunna. The panic, gunna is dangerous. There's a man with a gunna over there telling you you've got to beware.
Well, nicely quoted. In the song now,
Buffalo Springfield.
People are going to have that song in their head the rest of the day.
I didn't say
you did that on purpose.
I did not say gun. I said gunna. Okay.
Yeah, the people tend to get very emotional about things that they hold dear to themselves, and they expect it to be felt the same way because it's felt so strongly in themselves. They expect it to be felt the same way outside of themselves. Everybody else is going to feel this too,
and they expect reality to shape itself.
Correct.
Shape itself to their belief system.
And what's funny is that most people recognize that in other groups. The same people that were upset and afraid because Barack Obama was reelected will recognize, and this is a great example in the mainstream media, when people talk about gun control, and they bring all their emotions to it.
See, now you said gun.
I did. So did you just now. I heard it.
Well, I'm just quoting you, though.
Yes.
Gunna is what I was talking about.
But you did. You then said you didn't say gun. So you said gun when you said you didn't say gun.
I'm very confused.
Yes. Anyway, Barack Obama is one of those people that right now he can't, and Joe Biden, he can't understand why anybody else doesn't feel the strong emotions he feels about guns.
Right.
And he's shocked that he doesn't have a majority opinion because he feels very strongly about it. It's the same feeling about people that said Barack Obama is being elected, the economy is going to go bad because everybody's afraid and everybody's scared.
It's all those people who
except
are,
that
who,
not everybody's
who are
afraid.
Clinging to their guns,
yeah, their religion,
their Bibles,
religion and guns,
their religions and their religion.
They don't see eye to eye with each other, these two groups of people, for some reason. And they can't, it goes back to some things that we've talked about recently.
I tried clinging to my guns.
We actually talked about this a little bit last week, about when you understand a situation and you feel very strongly about it, and you have an opinion based on those feelings and the facts that you've gathered, and somebody else disagrees with you. The first reaction, the most, they just don't know about it as much as I do. I'm just going to explain it to them. And those of you that are listening, you probably, but I'll just tell them. They got it wrong. I'll tell them the fact. What? Oh, wait a minute. They have all the facts that I have. Well, if they have, they know this, so they just not be, they're just not that intelligent. That's what it is. But the more you talk to them, the more you realize, wait a minute, they are pretty intelligent. They are pretty well-informed and pretty intelligent people.
Well, so, obviously, then they must be?
Evil. You don't agree with me. You don't feel the way I feel, therefore you are evil. And that is...
I have said that about you on many occasions.
Oh, yes. Yes. So this is the line. And it's also the line, if, for those of you with religious backgrounds, remember what the first sin was. It wasn't eating an apple. It was eating a fruit, and it was, the fruit was the tree of the knowledge of...
good and evil.
Aha! So those of us that go around pointing at other people and saying, they don't agree with me, they don't feel the way I feel, they must be evil.
But you know, this concept of eating the fruit is like drawing the sword from the stone. We misunderstand
Wait,
it pretty
so
severely.
When I ate the fruit, I became king of all England? I knew it! I knew I was royalty!
I have often said you are a legend in your own mind. The fruit... we literally mean this when we say this. I think it's fascinating. The fruit of his actions.
Yep.
Meaning?
The tree. The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, we're not actually talking about physical fruit. We're talking about...
Hopefully
you know,
not. If somebody actually is talking about a child as a fruit falling out of a tree, then they have mental issues.
I've heard of children being called fruits before, but that's beside the point. And
are you calling me
spoiled, spoiled rotten? I mean,
yeah.
But the point is that this analogy, this metaphor of fruit, was also used several thousand years ago in the writing of the Book of Genesis, and it is the result. In other words, obtaining the result of the knowledge of good and evil is what cast us out from a perfect world into an imperfect world.
And when we do the same thing to people because they disagree with us and feel strongly about something, it does the same thing.
And somebody is probably going to say, what the heck has that got to do with drawing the sword from the stone? When a blacksmith takes a rock and converts it into a sword, he is drawing. It's called drawing.
It is called
literally,
drawing.
It's an old-fashioned term. It is called drawing the steel or the iron from the stone. And so drawing the sword from the stone simply means that somebody was a good blacksmith.
If you think back to the time when bronze was the hard metal and you had an iron or steel sword, that was pretty close to magical.
Well, iron, that was in the Iron Age. They could do iron. But the only steel that existed at the time in the Roman Empire was from meteorites. And, of course, what had happened is meteorites that have both iron and nickel in them passing through the atmosphere, heating up, become very, very, very hard. And it's very, very difficult for a blacksmith to work with. But if you get the fire hot enough and you get everything going, you can, after a great deal of effort, you can hammer out the meteorite into a flat metal. And it's actually what we today call nickel steel. When you add a little carbon to it from the blacksmith's effort, you produce a really fine piece of what they used to call Damascus steel, which is laid over and over again in thin sheets. And actually, this is where the singing sword, by the way, these swords are mysterious. If you take an iron sword and you hit something with it, like another piece of iron, it goes thunk. If you take an iron nickel meteorite and a good blacksmith, after a great deal of effort, creates a sword from it, and you hit the same piece of iron with the blacksmith with this steel sword. A couple
you
of
hit
interesting
it with the blacksmith?
Things happen. Well, you can hit it with the blacksmith too. But you hit it with the sword, a couple of interesting things happen. It will slice through an iron sword, and in doing so, it will ring quite loudly and quite clearly, which is the tradition of Excalibur being a singing sword. But that's totally nitnoid, geeky stuff, and we have commercials to play. How'd you like that little segue there?
I don't know that it was a segue. It seems like it was a change of subject. But
I think
it was actually
a non sequitur that I kind of smoothed over. But you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And we've got some commercials to play. But on the other side, you're welcome to give us a call about anything to do with the economy, the markets, or anything of that ilk. 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
And we'll be back. And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And we were sitting here just to show what very, very rounded, socially aware people that we are. We were sitting here debating the virtues of other browsers over Google Chrome.
Yes.
Or vice versa.
Or is it vice versa or vice versa?
It's actually vice versa, but it sounds neater if you say vice versa.
You just have to pronounce that.
But you
got to
put an
there.
On both ends.
Yes, it's these Latin words.
Vice versa. But it sounds a lot better if you say vice versa. It sounds sort of Italian.
If we were going to pronounce it properly in the Latin way.
Vice.
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 Versa.
Vice versa.
Yes, which nobody would understand a bit of.
They don't understand us anyway.
Yeah, so this is one of the things, you know.
I feel deeply misunderstood.
Another piece of Latin that many people know is vini, vidi, vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. Only it's mispronounced because if I've studied Latin, and when you study Latin, you realize the V's are pronounced like a W. So
it's weenie.
When I show up at places that I've been, like when we went camping not too long ago, I showed up at the camping site and I went, weenie, which means I have arrived. But that's not what people thought it meant. I'm like, what? It's just Latin. I don't know what the problem is.
So what did they think you meant?
I didn't ask them.
It was time to cook a hot dog?
I didn't ask what they thought. They just looked at me like I had lost some form of...
So Vienna...
Sanity.
Would actually be Vienna. Like Vienna. Like Wien. Actually, in German, it's Wien, which I think is a sort of an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, it's Wien in German.
Wien.
But it's W-E-I-N, which is pronounced Wien, which obviously then in Latin, which is the town was named in Latin, by the way, the city, it would be Wien. And that explains why we call them Wieners, because they're actually from Vienna.
Hmm. So when we say, give me a Vienna... Wiener, what we're really saying
Vienna
is...
Vienna sausage, yeah, actually, is a wiener.
So what we're really saying when you say, give me a Vienna sausage, is very similar to saying the Milky Way galaxy, because galaxy means milky.
Yes.
It's the Milky Way milky.
Yeah, it's the Milky Way milky.
Makes perfect sense. This
only
is how...
Only the W is pronounced V, so... Milky Way milky.
Yes.
Boy, it's...
Oh, boy.
Now you
we
know...
are nerds.
Yeah, but we're such good nerds. Anyway, let's talk about the markets for just a moment. For those of you who are who track these things very carefully, the Dow Jones Industrial Average for the week was down 2.14%. Do you like that?
Did I like that it was down? I like the way you say it?
I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, the way you said it?
Year to date, that means it's only up 11%. 52 weeks, it's up 11.65. Now, that's an interesting point, and I want you to listen very carefully. For 1 year, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 11.65%. Year-to-date, it's up 11%. What does that mean? That means that basically all of the up in the Dow, I love that, up in the Dow, D-O-W has no U-P in it, but it's in there anyway. Almost all of it has occurred this year. And that kind of explains a lot of things. The S&P 500, which is a little closer to reality than the Dow is up year-to-date. It's up about 9%. For the week, it was down about 2.11. For 52 weeks, for a year, it's up almost 13%, which is good.
Yes.
At least that's my, you know, that's my today's comment on the market. It was good. You like that?
Are you asking the which part are you asking if I like? Today's comment on or the way you...
Not just the way I said that.
It's very nice. Very nice.
Actually, the trouble with the market this week, according to Barron's, the troubles started on Monday after China reported that first quarter growth in gross domestic product, GDP,
mm-hmm.
decelerated to 7.7% from 7.9%.
All right, so let's get on our soapbox for a second, or at least my soapbox.
You have a soapbox?
I have a soapbox.
I have never seen a soapbox.
It keeps my feet very clean.
I have tried finding, I actually bought some soap.
Mm-hmm. but the boxes
it
are too flimsy.
Tried to stand on the box and it collapsed immediately. So I don't understand this standing on a soapbox.
All right, to get back to the subject, which is a good soapbox for me.
Okay.
This doesn't collapse so well because I can stand on this for hours.
Uh-huh.
When the media does the silly thing, I realize most people are going to think this isn't silly. They say China's GDP decelerated. There's a problem. There's a big problem.
It didn't decelerate.
It's accelerating. It's just not as it's not accelerating as quickly.
And they literally said decelerate. Decelerated yeah. means you're slowing down.
Yeah, that's like putting a brake on. Oh, yeah. Let me.
It's not going backwards.
Right. Let me give a definition here. When we talk about growth in the economy, we're talking about, if you will, moving forward at a speed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Each time we measure the growth in the economy, it's from the last point. So if you moved forward a certain distance at a certain speed, and then you remeasure it, and you say, all right, from this point forward right now, if we just stopped, this is, you know, no growth would be if we just stop right here. Going forward, we have to accelerate. And this is a hard thing for a lot of people to recognize, especially the media. The media gets this wrong so often.
Unless the acceleration is fast enough and you're slammed back to the back of the seat.
Yes. What happens when we talk about growth, it's more like a pine tree growing, tree or grass growing. It's growing at a certain rate. If it's still growing, it hasn't slowed down. The growth may have slowed. The acceleration may have slowed. But it didn't decelerate. Deceleration
actually,
means
there is,
going
there is,
backwards.
There is an appropriate word there.
Slower growth.
No. Deaccelerate.
There you go. Deaccelerate.
But instead of using deaccelerate.
They said decelerate.
This is Avi Saltzman.
who needs to go back to economic school.
Well, it's not economic school. I think he learns how to, if he would actually learn how to write. He's probably got a master's degree in
journalism
and writing or something like that.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. The words in here. Okay. Silver tumbled.
You got very descriptive phrases. These are nice.
Gold futures fell.
Okay.
Silver tumbled.
We use words that have to do with physics when we're talking about 10-year this.
10-year treasuries were basically flat.
Right. So the flat is less physics, but
well, if you think
accelerate,
about
decelerate, falling, tumbling, growing, all of these are physics.
A 10-year treasury is a note, okay?
Uh-huh.
It's technically a treasury note.
It's a piece of paper.
And it's a piece of paper, and yeah, it's flat.
That's the way it was printed.
I love it when they say treasury, the 10-year treasury note rose. Oh.
and you can tell the fact that we are humored by this means that we're very strange, that but when we're using words that have meanings in other contexts.
Oh, I like that the Dow flirted with 15,000.
It was flirting. It was very nice. The media comes in here, and they're trying to sell papers. They're trying to sell hits on their website. They're trying to sell advertising, maybe trying to sell subscriptions. But recognize that the words that they use may not be correct. Most people recognize that in other areas, but when it comes to the market, they think, oh, decelerate, it's flirting with, it's tumbling. When prices go up and down, the numbers go up and down, it's like your house going up and down.
They actually increase or decrease.
And if someone told you that your house just tumbled.
Well, this is the reason they said that we had such a bad week.
Because the house tumbled?
The combination of the fact that the first quarter growth in gross domestic product decelerated to 7.7% in China, and U.S. economic reports were spotty.
Okay. We've got consumer confidence is a little low. People's expectations for the future are a little low. Until you ask them, how do you feel about your own prospects? And that's something, these headlines that have come out recently, when you read down through it, when people are asked about their personal life and their prospects in the future, they have glowing optimism. When they talk about the rest of the country, they go, oh, no, things must be really bad. But when the vast majority of people think that they themselves are going to be fine and the rest of the world isn't.
It generally means
that the rest of the world is doing fairly well, too.
I think it's the spotty economic reports.
Yes,
now, the fact
is a Dalmatian.
The majority of the fall occurred on the same day that two bombs went off in the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, that could have something to do with that.
I think, Ped, and it occurred immediately following those two bombs going off.
Right. When you, I was just commenting about this, the financial news that I look at was covered in bombing information. When you're looking for financial news and you see news about a marathon bombing, there's some mixing going on, and that affects our outlook. And we're almost out of time for this hour. So if you would like to contact us off the air, you can also wait till next hour and call in. But for off the air, we have voicemail waiting locally at
947-1111.
You can also reach us toll-free to get that voicemail at 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. Or you can email us at jeff@tpwc.com or jake@tpwc.com. That's the personal wealth coach for those
well,
of you that
it could be, you know, just coincidence.
So until next hour, this has been the Personal Wealth Coach.
Yeah.
KTEM AM, Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood, the best talk in America. News Radio 1400 KTEM.